We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Giddy up, let's go, baby. All right, Rick Kamla, John Michaels. We are here in the Kia studios. We are ready for battle. We have an insane amount of football news. We have the tournament. It started last night. It goes tonight for real tomorrow. But we got to get the John Michaels mouth update here at 10:01:50 on a hump day here on the Midday Show with Rick and John.
I'm sore. I had a tooth popped out last night, or they took out my wisdom tooth, which, you know, I had to get that one removed. I had already had three gone. I had one left. Dennis said, you got to get that out of there. Oh, yeah, I heard that for like 45 minutes because I had to get a couple of fillings. Which the fillings, he didn't give me any anesthesia. Fillings I didn't feel at all because he said they're very small, just boop, boop. It took them longer, and I don't know how they do the filling now. It's not the old school chrome that they used to put back there. It's like, I don't know, it's like some kind of enamel, but they got to polish it down so it feels like
they match it to your teeth.
Right.
That's what they do is they try to get the color so it looks like you don't have a filling.
Yeah, so you couldn't tell, but he had to polish it down to make it feel like my natural bite. So that took long. And then they had to keep shoving needles in my mouth to numb me to pop this wisdom tooth out. The needles don't bother me. I didn't even feel the needles because you're numb as can be by then. And then you hear the as they're pulling the tooth out. He was like, you're going to feel pressure and you'll hear some sound, which I did. And now my mouth hurts like hell. Like it just feels like I've been punched in the side of the face.
Throbbing like.
Just more like that dull, continual pain. I'm sure there's listeners out there that would love to punch me in the face. Today would be a day you would knock me unconscious.
Are you a little loopy this morning, John?
Next question.
What are you on right now?
Sweet tea and Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
No, I just had some aspirin this morning, but no, I'm fine. It's just, it's one of those that if Sean Thompson had not texted us like 2 months ago that said, don't call out sick at 7 o'clock in the morning again. I probably would have called out sick. Like last night I was okay. I think I had taken enough pain meds laying in bed that I was okay. This morning I woke up and I go, oh, I should have texted Sean last night. But I'm here. We'll soldier on. There's so much to talk about, so many great interviews. I'll be all right.
We'll help you get through it, man. I got to tell you a couple of stories from last night. Went to a concert with Charity. It was one of her bands, okay? So she took me out last night. A band called Little Dragon. Very good. Kind of EDM meets pop meets trance. Kind of dreamy stuff. More on the house tip than like the techno tip.
Will that help that music win on Friday?
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps. Okay. Maybe M.O. could pull up a little dragon for you. But we enjoyed the heck out of the show. Now, John, so this is Charity's band, okay? She's, I don't know, 5'5", 5'6", or whatever. She can't see the band. Baby, can you take some video for me? Yeah, no problem. I got you. So I'm taking video. This guy behind me taps me on the shoulder and says, could you put your phone down? What? Are you serious? There's like eight people in between me and Charity and the stage with their phone up taking video.
Right.
That's kind of what you do at a concert.
Yeah,
okay?
Pretty much.
So this guy, and he's bigger than me. He's about 6'5", 6'6", big dude, looked about 280 pounds. I don't care. I'm a little sauced up. I'm out with my baby. I'm feeling good. I'm not going to start a fight. But I look back at him and I go, dude, that is the biggest BS complaint in the history of concerts. Okay? And I just turned back to Charity and kept it moving. About 5 minutes later, he taps me again and goes, my bad, bro. Okay, so that was that. But I have never, ever been told to put down my phone at a concert. That was a first. Okay, so later on, Charity goes to the bathroom. I'm alone. We had some fish tacos. When we got there, we were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I had a little bubble guts. I let one go. I don't usually do that. All right, and I don't like it when other people do that, but I couldn't help it. I'm in a crowd. I just had to do what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, I'm there. And all of a sudden, Charity comes back and just somebody re-varted me. They revenge-farted me at the concert.
It
so I coined the phrase re-varted last night. I got re-varted.
Well, it happened.
But we had a great time.
When you crop dust, you're going to get crop dusted back. A lot of things.
We had to get out of there, John.
Carrie, I actually took nice wipes the other day. And if you notice, the screen is nice and clean. I cleaned it up because I like to be able to see the workstation I work on.
Hold on, please. Please, look, it's going to create dust. My allergies are already going crazy this morning. Please don't raise more dust. Thank you, Terry. Thank
now,
you.
We love our boss, Double X. Double X has a, he's a neat freak, to say the least. If our workstations are left unkept, he will come in behind us and go, really? Is this in my job description? And he's in here right now with a duster. I've seen my wife use that on the fan from time to time. She'll look at me and go, you don't ever dust the fan. No, that's you turn the fan on, you just let the dust go. It's kind of part of living.
So let's go around the room here, man. What's up, M.O.? What's up, Preacher, man? How y'all living today?
Now, it's time for a Colony
really?
Square bathroom update.
Can we flush now?
103.
We got a new door. We got a new door.
No, they actually painted
no, they
the
painted
old.
It.
Yeah, they just painted
son
it.
Of a gun. I was all
it
excited.
Was an update, though.
It is an update. Let me rephrase that. Hold on. Let's try that one more time.
Now it's time for a Colony Square bathroom update. D103.
Our old cracked door got a fresh coat of paint.
What
Our
color did they paint it?
Gray.
Nice.
Yep. But because they moved the sign to the side and the door was open yesterday,
mm-hmm.
they're making moves. I think Paul Bible is going to win this bet.
More juice
well,
boxes.
How much? It was $5,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 5 apiece.
Oh, cool. I thought it was 20.
No.
Because you guys were like, Camley, you're going to lose. I took the over. It looks like it's going to be done,
pretty
which
sure
is good
they
news.
Put in the mirror this morning, gentlemen.
I haven't seen that yet.
There is a philosophical debate around here. Should you go, number one in our new bathroom without going to another floor? But you can't wash your hands in there, so you have to be careful and then come out and use hand sanitizer. And there is some debate whether that's
I go
whether
to
that's
the
bad
eight
hygiene or just kind of getting it done.
I'm going 8 or 10.
Yeah, I'm with you,
whichever,
Paul.
Whichever up or down elevator comes first, that's uh-huh. the one I get on.
Okay.
As annoying as it is, I'm still going to respect that they're working. They're still. It's not done yet.
They're not in there, though. What if they're not,
if
in,
they're
there?
Not in there? I'm not going to go sleep in my house if it's not fully built. Like, if they're building you a new house,
mm-hmm.
just because it looks done doesn't mean it's officially done. Until they give us the all clear, I don't want to pee on a wire and get electrocuted.
Preacher man.
That's what's up.
What the is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Free agency is insane, is what's up. I mean, that's the best way I can put it. Players are going everywhere. The biggest news, I guess, from yesterday, right after we get off the air, Jimmy Graham, not going to be a Falcon. He's also not going to be part of the Blue Dat Nation. He is now going to the Cheeseheads. Jimmy Graham going to be a member of the Green Bay Packers. But what was really interesting, like minutes after they announced the signing of Jimmy Graham, they cut Jordy Nelson, 33-year-old wide receiver, has been Aaron Rodgers' favorite target when he's healthy. For year in and year out, Jordy Nelson gone, Jimmy Graham in. They also signed Muhammad Wilkerson to the Green Bay Packers. So I'm telling you now, the Packers making some moves, trying to load up one more time for a run.
Here's what's cool about this move. It stinks that we didn't get Jimmy Graham, but when you consider, and John will break down what we have left in the salary cap, we're going to be making no moves, y'all. We got no money. But here's what's cool about it. A, he didn't go to the Saints.
Yeah,
we did not want Jimmy
awesome.
Graham coming to our division and re-teaming with Drew Brees. Okay, he goes to Green Bay. Ah, they're one of our competitors, too. But, John, to get Jimmy Graham, they had to say goodbye to an institution in Jordy Nelson. So now you have Randall Cobb, you have Devontae Adams, and you have Jimmy Graham. If you had Jimmy Graham and they still have Jordy Nelson with Cobb, with Adams, now you have arguably the best collection of passing talent in the game. But now you have Graham and Cobb and Adams. You see what I'm saying? So it's not quite as formidable. It's a good get for Green Bay, but they had to give up Nelson to get him.
To me, the bigger move for them is Muhammad Wilkerson. They're hurting on the D-line. They're hurting on the defensive side of the football. If they can even get average on defense, Green Bay, they're going to win the NFC North, in my opinion, if everything falls into place for them. Let's give away some cash.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Rank. R-A-N-K. When somebody revarted Rick, it was rank.
It was. It
the
really
smell
was
really rank. Text rank right now to 72881. Again, rank to 72881. That's your $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest word. One more time, code word is rank, R-A-N-K. Text that right now to 72881. We are happy to announce we have pulled even with the morning show. We gave away another $1,000 yesterday. I know a lot of guys are saying, hey, we're not hearing the call-ins. Intercom does it a little bit different than CBS, so we don't have somebody call us and we get to talk to them. A little disappointing. We like to hear the excitement of guys winning $1,000, but rank is your code word for this hour.
I don't know. Intercom's cool with me. They're paying the bills right now.
The check still clears.
So elsewhere in What's Up, to me, this is not What's Up. The Cleveland Browns signing Carlos Hyde and saying goodbye to Saquon Barkley. They have now sent a ripple, John, through free agency and the draft because You have Duke Johnson. Mm-hmm. They're trying to work out an extension with him. They love him. He's going nowhere. And you have Carlos Hyde. So Hyde is your hammer, and Duke Johnson is your do-everything-else back. They don't need Saquon Barkley right now. So they're not going to take Barkley, probably going to take Darnold number one. Now Barkley enters the realm for the Giants at number two. Again, this Carlos Hyde signing for 3 years and $15 million, seemingly kind of underneath the radar, is one of the biggest moves of free agency.
I'm not 100% sure they still won't go Saquon Barkley. And I know you and Bo were yelling at each other. I won't scream at you or whatnot. I look at the special talent that is Saquon Barkley. And Duke Johnson's a guy that they don't line up at tailback very often. He plays slot. He will line up at tailback, but it's more in a passing scenario. He caught like 70 balls a year ago, and they are trying to work out an extension with the Duke of Coral Gables. But Carlos Hyde's also been a guy that you look at and you go, all right, he's pretty good. But it reminds me of the signing a year ago. Remember, the Vikings signed Latavius Murray, and then they go out and they draft Dalvin Cook. And you look and you say, you already had Jerick McKinnon to play the Duke Johnson role. You had Latavius Murray. And granted, Murray was coming off an injury, but you still went out and drafted Dalvin Cook. I'm not sure Cleveland doesn't take Saquon Barkley. If I'm Cleveland, I do take Saquon Barkley.
You're nuts, John. Come on, man. First of all, Dalvin Cook slipped to the second round. We're talking about a first or fourth pick.
I get
it. It's a much different investment than spending, what, the 42nd overall pick mm-hmm. on Dalvin Cook. So to me, it's apples and oranges, the Vikings comparison. We can agree to disagree. I can tell you right now the Browns aren't taking Saquon Barkley. It's a promise. It just would be idiotic for them to pay Hyde, restructure Duke Johnson, and bring in Saquon Barkley. It'd be idiotic.
You know what that sounds like, Paul? That sounds like a $20 juice box right there. Because I say they do take Saquon Barkley
Boom.
Number
you
one.
You got to bet. You got to bet.
There we go.
You think they're taking Barkley number
Absolutely.
One?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. We got a juice box bet.
Okay.
Giddy up.
There we
Game
go.
Game on.
I like those kinds. Those are fun and easy. And, again, neither one of us have any skin in the game when it comes to the Browns.
Speaking of skin in the game, how about the Preacher Man's Titans getting Deion Lewis of the Patriots and Malcolm Butler of the Patriots? So, Preacher Man, Malcolm Butler is laughing last. Of course, benched infamously for the Super Bowl, gets 5 years, $61 million and 30 guaranteed.
It's a lot of money.
It is, but you needed him.
I know. I'm not debating that, but it just the free agency is just helping him make a ton of bread. I don't know that he's worth that amount of money. I mean, I think he's a great player, and we definitely will be able to use him, but that's just a lot of money.
It is, but I mean, Preacher Man, you consider some of the money being thrown on. We talked about Cameron Brake getting $41 million from Tampa.
Sam Bradford got $20 mm-hmm. million. Dollars. Arizona should just redact their franchise for this year. You gave that clown bum, bad need, overpaid piece of malarkey, $20 million.
It's crazy. And
they got rid of malarkey.
They signed Mike Glennon yesterday, too. Arizona, they pick up Bradford and Mike Glennon, formerly of the Bears. Huge news in college basketball. Yeah. John DeAndre Hunter, sixth man of the year in the ACC, out for Virginia. Oh, my God. That is a huge blow.
You know
and
what
I feel better
do?
About having them not in the Final Four.
Yeah, I had to change my pick. I have them now losing in the Sweet 16. You're talking about a team that only was about seven deep to begin with. He was their best bench player, and he's now out. Hawks do lose last night.
Marvin Bagley.
Yep, or DeAndre Ayton. I don't care. Pick one. Let's go.
His name doesn't flow as good with the cheer, but I do love DeAndre Ayton. Keep losing, guys.
And the play-in games were done yesterday. Radford and St. Bonaventure with the win. We take a break. We come back. We're going to dive into free agency head first on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right. I love bubble guts. I let one go. I don't usually do that. And then I got revarted last night at Terminal West for the Little Dragon Show. Shout out to Charity, man. That's her band. I had a blast. And now John and me having a blast in the Kia Studios. Hi, how you doing? Rick Kamla, John Michaels. We are here on the home of the Falcons. And we understand that you know, Jimmy Graham couldn't come here based on the financial ramifications. Mm-hmm. He goes to Green Bay. He doesn't go to New Orleans. That's good news. There is so much to talk about. And, John, let's falconize it here a little bit.
Okay.
Drew Brees got paid $50 million over 2 years, $27 million guaranteed. That's it. Now, he'll make the full 50 because he's a guy that never misses a game, and he'll hit all his Pro Bowl incentives and all that kind of stuff. But, John, in terms of Drew Brees leaving a reported $10 million on the table, okay, to come back to New Orleans, he could have gone in the rumor, the word on the street is that Minnesota was coming at 2 years, $60 million, all guaranteed. Here you go, Drew. Come on up here. And they're going to give $84 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins over 3 years. So, of course, they'd be happy to go $30 million per for Drew Brees. He's way better than Kirk Cousins, even at his advanced age. So, John, in terms of that, I'm looking at Matt Ryan, Arthur Blank, who already said early this offseason, I'm kind of sort of going to need this guy to take a hometown discount. We're going to be competitive with him, but we're not backing up a total three Brinks trucks for him. That tells me Matt Ryan should be looking around. Let's see, Brady takes less money. Tim Duncan took less money. Breeze took less money. I need to take less money, John. That's where I'm at.
Probably not going to happen, though. When you see Jimmy Garoppolo getting on average $27.5 million. Kirk Cousins, as you mentioned, $28 million, all of it guaranteed, which is absolutely ridiculous to pay that guy that kind of money. The difference with Drew Brees, I think, and a Matt Ryan, Drew Brees is at the end of the career. Drew Brees, this probably, and I keep saying probably, because quarterbacks seemingly are now playing into their 40s, this is probably the last deal for Drew Brees ever. And he didn't want to go start somewhere anew. Him and Sean Payton have a great synergy. They've been coach quarterback combo ever since 2006. When Payton was hired and Drew Brees, they signed him as a free agent in the offseason. Matt Ryan will probably take a discount over what he could get because I think he could get $30 million per. He could get 5 years, $150 million, and beg for, you know, or demand $100 million guaranteed and probably get it. Because Matthew Stafford got 90-some-odd million dollars in guarantees, and Matt Ryan's a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford. Again, Jimmy Garoppolo at 27.5. Jimmy Garoppolo's done nothing in this league to deserve that kind of money. I don't think Matt will break the bank for every dime, but I don't think he's going less than $25 million a year.
Well, $25 million a year would be a huge win for us.
Absolutely.
It's when you go 30, 32, 33, because you got to think about it. For every additional $5 million or $3 million from Matt Ryan, you're saying bye-bye to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? That's how this works. It's not like, oh, yeah, we can just work in. You know, it's not like the NBA where you got bird rights on a guy and you can go way over the salary cap to bring him back because he's yours and they set up the system to keep your own players in the NBA. Not like that in the NFL. So you would have to say goodbye to a couple of players. And to me, that's where Matt Ryan needs to look in the mirror and say, well, what kind of hometown discount can I give Arthur Blank and the Falcon Nation to keep a couple of these guys around? John, do you have the salary cap information as we sit here right now? Mm-hmm. I want you to give it to the people because it is sobering, it is depressing, and it is the exact reason why we're basically doing nothing here in free agency.
Yeah, the Falcons right now have $8.5 million. $8,497,362 in cap. That's accounting for the $1.5 million in cap space created with Brooks Reed-based salary being moved. So you don't have money. This is why everybody's going, oh, this guy's gone. Oh, that guy's gone. Realistically, until a Matt Ryan extension, which can lower this year's cap number, a Jake Matthews potential extension, which could lower this year's cap number, or cutting players, which it doesn't look like they're going to do at this point, until those are done, you have $8.4 million to spend, $8.5 million to spend in free agency. You know what that's going to get you? Guys that are the second wave. It's not going to be today at 4 o'clock. It probably won't be tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's going to be Sunday or Monday when a lot of the big-name free agents dry up. Here's the positive to this, and I want Falcon fans, and I know they'll say, oh, you're a homer. You get paid by the Falcons. Not true. I only get paid by Intercom Radio. That's it. Falcons have never penned me a check for anything. I do the sidelines for them, but that's different. It has nothing to do with it. They don't tell me what to say. Here's the positive way to look at it. What are we looking for, Rick, in free agency? A guard, okay? We'd like to have a guard, and we'd like to upgrade our defensive line. Other than that, we don't really have a whole lot of holes. Okay, we want a third receiver. Third receivers aren't costing that much money. You can find a guy, and you could draft a guy. So the positive is you don't need a lot. Teams that are out spending exorbitant amounts of money. Minnesota needed a quarterback. All three of their quarterbacks went different places. New Orleans needed to re-sign Drew Brees. We don't have to re-sign any of our guys. So on the positive, there aren't a huge amount of holes. On the negative, yes, we wanted another guard. Me and you have been talking about guard for 3 months. Me and you would have liked to see another defensive tackle because it doesn't look like Dontari Poe's going to come back. Those are the two holes that need to be filled. Unfortunately, we don't have big money to spend.
Our Falcons, because of everything we're talking about, have to nail the draft.
Yep.
It is imperative. You got to hit on every pick. You can miss on 6, 7, 7. You can't miss 1, 2, 3, 4.
Nope. You
got to nail all four of those picks because we're so hamstrung and straitjacketed right now in free agency. We've talked about Matt Schaub and his contract and maybe saying goodbye to him and freeing up some money. It hasn't happened. And it's not going to happen. And here's why. Chase Daniel just got 2 years and $10 million to back up Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago. That's Matt Schaub's contract. Mm-hmm. Matt Schaub is better than Chase Daniel. Way more accomplished. Mm-hmm. And so Chase frickin' Daniel is going to get $5 million a year to stand on the Bears' sideline this year.
Yep.
Is it overpaid? Of course. But so Schaub is at that slotting. The Falcons haven't made a move. They're not going to make a move. Taylor Gabriel going to the Chicago yep. Bears, who were super busy yesterday. They get Trey Burton, the tight end of Philly. They get Allen Robinson, and now they get Taylor Gabriel. I don't know who their second wide receiver is. Maybe Cameron Meredith. I don't know. Maybe Kevin White, the former top 10 pick. But here come the Bears a little bit. They're trying to give Trubisky some weapons. And Gabriel, he didn't have to wait long to get a new job.
And once again, talk about the Bears. What did they have going into yesterday? Bupkis. They had Jordan Howard and a second-year quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, who we still don't know if he's going to be good or not.
And a feisty defense.
Yeah, and so they had to go out and fill some needs. Chicago also had like $75 million in cap space. So, yes, they're going to go out and sign those kind of guys. Falcons, I know a lot of fans immediately, go sign Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson is still looking at 33 to saying, okay, at minimum I'm a number two somewhere, and he still probably feels that he's a number one. There are teams in this league that need number ones that will probably pay Jordy Nelson a heck of a lot more than the Falcons. If he comes here, he's probably the number two and Sanu slides to your three. But you're not going to – that's a luxury piece that right now you're not going to eat up some of that $8.5 million in cap space to go sign Jordy Nelson.
You're not. I think Carolina would be a great landing place.
Nah, don't come on. No.
I don't think he's going to go there. He's visiting the Oakland Raiders today. And I read a report that if the Raiders decide that they want Jordy Nelson and Jordy Nelson wants them, they're going to say goodbye to Michael Crabtree. So the dominoes and the ripples keep occurring here. So we'll watch that. See, if Jordy Nelson signs with the Raiders, I don't think they're going to have the cash. And by the way, I don't think Crabtree and Gruden are necessarily destined to be with each other. But Gruden has said, John Gruden, the new head coach of the Raiders, has said that Amari Cooper will be the total focal point of their offense next year. That's great. Catch the ball, Amari. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're going to need all of that. The other thing I've looked at in free agency, Rick, is the ridiculous money that's getting thrown around. And this is what happens when the cap goes up and teams have to spend money. Jerick McKinnon.
Yep.
You see the money that he just got? I think it was 4 years and $30
Correct,
million
sir. Dollars 30.
For Jerick McKinnon. Mm-hmm. He's a situational back. And no knock on him. I think he's a Georgia Southern kid. He had moments with Minnesota. Are you turning and handing him the football 25 times a game? Hell no, you're not.
Who else does San Francisco have? Is he their main guy right now?
Now, with Carlos Hyde gone.
Hyde's in Cleveland. By the way, John and me have a juice box bet right now. I'm saying that with Carlos Hyde signing in Cleveland, Hyde and Duke Johnson will be their backs. They don't need Saquon Barkley, and they won't take him. John still says they will take Barkley number one overall. Game on. We got a juice box bet about it. So that's pretty cool. Jacksonville made some interesting moves here, okay? Allen Robinson, they let him go to Chicago, and he got huge money up there. And kind of on the sneaky, they signed Dante Moncrief of the Indianapolis Colts, who's really talented but really injury-prone. Yeah. So maybe they can get him right. Marquise Lee, who led the league in drops last year but is talented, he re-signs on a four-year deal. You still have Dede Westbrook. You have Keelan Cole. And who am I forgetting?
Allen Hurns.
And Allen Hurns. So there you go. That is a nice little collection of solid, not great wide receivers.
I'm going to tell you, Jacksonville, and I know last year was, you know, you question them all. You're not you, but just in particular, people question, is this a fluke? That is a solid football
team.
No
doubt.
They've got a really good defense that's probably going to get better as young guys, Jalen Ramsey and Dante Fowler and players like that, mature even more. And Ramsey's a star in this league. But now you add Fournette in year number two. You add another piece on the O-line in Andrew Norwell. You put him next to Brandon Linder. That is a good – if Blake Bortles plays like he did in the playoff game, Jacksonville is one of the three favorites in the AFC with Pittsburgh and New England.
That's crazy that we're putting Jacksonville up there with New England and Pittsburgh. But John's right. It's totally valid. And, you know, we're binging around free agency here. Ozzie Newsome, the czar of the Ravens, said, we're going to reshape our wide receivers. Bye-bye, Jeremy Maclin. Bye-bye, Mike Wallace. And they say hello to Ryan Grant of the Redskins and John Brown of the Cardinals? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Get Flacco some weapons, man.
Yeah, well, they haven't done much. I thought, and they might be in the mix for Jordy Nelson. That would be a good landing spot for him. We take a break. We come back. Slice of life coming up next, and it's pretty simple. What do you want to retire from pop culture, movies, phrases, dress code, hairstyles, anything? It's all coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
And we got a good one. It's brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. John, this one comes from the mind of Mark Owens, does it not?
It does.
M.O., what's up with our slice of life today?
Well, I'll get it started. It's something that needs to be retired, so we need to have a retirement party. It can either be a person, maybe somebody in sports media, or a celebrity, a singer. We're not going to talk politics. Someone that you want to have a retirement party for. A
couple of former hosts on this radio station?
Or maybe it's something pop culture. Maybe it's a phrase, and I'll get it started here. Number one, I would like to officially retire any grown adult man ever using the phrase clap back. No grown man should ever be clapping back at anyone or anything ever. You're a grown A man. Leave that to the 14-year-old girls on Twitter. The other one I'd like to retire, and we are guilty of this, being in sports media, the quote-unquote way too early look at dot, dot, dot. In the past week alone, I've seen on Twitter articles from various sports websites, and I get it, bloggers need clicks. You got to get that clickbait out there. So you're going to say, I've got a way too early look at so-and-so. And I've done it before. I've done the way too early look at the 2018 Georgia Bulldog season. But in this week alone, I've seen the way too early look at the college football playoff contenders. That game's not until late December, your playoffs.
As you say, most teams just got spring practice started like a couple of days ago.
I've seen the way too early look at the MLB trade deadline.
Stop it. Are you serious?
Number one, that's not till July. Number two, we have yet to play the first regular season game of the season. And also someone that saw the way too early NASCAR All-Star Break chase contenders. We've had four races of the season.
That's
four
awesome.
Races. And the All-Star Break is not until late May. So let's retire, have a retirement party. It was a good cliche, good for clickbait, but let's retire the way too early look at.
You guys can text 404-741-0929 or Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Tweet the show at RickandJohn929. What would you like to retire? Rick, you and I both have like monster lists.
Let's go back and forth.
So we're going to have to bing through these pretty quickly.
Yeah, let's go back and forth. Hit me with one.
The first one for me, we need to retire everybody being so doggone sensitive. Like everything shouldn't get everybody up in arms. If Rick and I say, we don't like your draft choice, oh, Rick and John are the two biggest haters in the world. I'm going to go cry to everybody. Stop being so damn sensitive. In the 70s or 80s, you got insulted, and you took it like a man, and you said sticks and stones and all that stuff, and you kept it moving. Stop being so sensitive.
We're talking about stuff we want to retire, like baggy pants with the boxers on full blast. Could you please stop sagging your pants all the way down to below your butt so that I can see your entire underwear? I don't want it. Does anybody want to see some other dude's entire underwear?
No.
Stick it out. So I want to retire that.
Yeah, on that tip, can we retire skinny jeans? Maybe it's just,
I almost wrote that down.
Maybe
that's
it's
hilarious.
Just the dad bod in me that can't fit into skinny jeans. I don't need to see another man in painted on pants.
Preacher Man's going to love this one because I'm going to take him to the ball fields of recreational baseball and travel baseball in a northern suburb. I want to retire parents of youth athletes caring more about the game than the kids themselves. You can care about it, but you can't care more than your kids. You agree, Preacher Man?
I would agree with that.
You know what that is? That's called living vicariously through your kids. I get it. You couldn't run a 40-yard dash in under 10, and now all of a sudden little Johnny can play. Like, dude, calm the hell down. Like, go cheer for your kid, but don't go over the top.
My kid has more athletic ability than I ever had in my entire life. All I do is cheer for him and his teammates to make sure they have a good game.
And you also do, Paul? You take your kid to classes and let them learn, and you're what a parent's supposed to be. But you're not the guy out there screaming at the umpires, ready to fight other players or coaches. No, you go out and you do what you're supposed to do as a dad. All right, here you go. Phone payment plans. Can we get back to the days of just I sign my 2-year contract and I get my free iPhone? I am so tired of paying $30-something dollars a month because I upgrade my phone. And no, I don't have $1,000 to dole out for a new phone. Get me back to the contract because I've stayed with the same company for 15 years anyway. I hate those stupid phone payment plans.
Or Intercom, could you pay for our cell phones? Thanks. We'd appreciate it.
We're talking about things we want to retire. And John, that was a good one. I want to retire LeBron James narcissism. I don't want him to retire. I want his narcissism to retire. Did you see his quote last night?
I did not.
Okay, so they're playing the Suns, John.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns. They beat him 129-107.
Good win.
He had a triple-double in the game, and afterwards he said, quote, "You can just say," he was asked, like, you know, "How do you do it, LeBron? You're so great." And he said, "You can just say I'm like fine wine. I get better with age. That's what it says." Now, John, get this. He doubled down on the narcissism. Somebody suggested that, you know, in today's NBA, there's a lot more possessions in the game. Mm-hmm. Therefore, that much more opportunity to get stats.
Sure.
And he said, "More possessions, my ass. What are you talking about? I'm getting better with age. That's what it's saying." Huh. So I want to retire LeBron James' narcissism.
Okay. I want to retire the stupid acronyms. Like, if you're going to – I get it. You only get 140 characters on Twitter. I don't need TBH, WTF, LOL, BAE, GF, BF. Just say what you mean.
If hey, it's more than 144 on Twitter
it
now.
It is. So. Yeah, I got like two something.
Yeah, it's like 240 or something. Like, yeah.
Here's the thing. Do you need to start a sentence with, "To be honest"? I would like to hope what you're about to say is honest. If it's going to be a lie, just say, "I'm lying," to keep it real. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. TLDR.
What is that?
Too long, didn't read. Duh. I read the headline and form my opinion on that. I don't actually read the article. Come okay. on.
YOLO. Yeah. Let me drop a YOLO on you.
Yeah, I don't think anybody uses YOLO anymore. I hope not.
I think the Kardashians do. I know MO uses FOMO.
It's a way too early look at how to be FOMO and YOLO, but you know, it's TLDR.
Come on, John. It's IKR, man.
Yeah, I know.
John, you know who I want to retire?
Who's that?
That's a good one, the acronyms. By the way, sometimes Ty, my 14-year-old, you know, "Love you, bro," or whatever, I send him a text, and he goes, "It's ILY2. I love you, too." So he doesn't spell it out. It's what kids do.
Sure. Kids nowadays, they don't know how to spell.
Exactly.
Or write in cursive, either one.
Yeah. We're talking about things, people, phrases, cliches, whatever that need to be retired. I've got a combo platter for you, John. Ill Bimmins, Robin Blowhard, and Dip Bayless.
Yep.
Schedule the retirement press conference, please.
I agree.
What else you got?
These two kind of go hand in hand. I don't need to see your starting end photo. I get it. You lost weight. You've done a great job working out. I don't need to see the picture. Here was me 4 years ago when I was fat. Here's a picture of me 4 years later when I'm not so fat. That goes right along with your food pictures. Meal prepping for the week. Shut the hell up and meal prep.
Mike McKenzie on line one.
Can I tag on that one? If you're trying to sell an essential oil or maybe a lotion or maybe something that gets rid of wrinkles, I don't need to see your before and after picture so close up of your face,
right,
which both of them still look like the before picture. But back off just a little bit because, look, I'm using Rodan and Fields. I don't have bags under my eyes. Yes, you do. And back the camera another 3 inches away from your face.
Hilarious. All right, let me hit you rapid fire style here. Things, people, whatever that need to be retired. Derrick Rose.
Done.
Okay. Chris Collinsworth. I figured that one would be popular here in Atlanta. Throw a little Chris Collinsworth in there with all his Falcon hate. Grayson Allen. Yep, that's right. Before his NBA career even begins, I want him to retire. He is
Harry Douglas wants to talk to you about Grayson Allen.
We didn't have this conversation yesterday.
What are you talking about?
Harry Douglas was texting me during the meeting when we were replaying the Brendan Hayward interview.
Yeah,
and you were going in on Grayson Allen.
Uh-huh.
His dad coached Grayson Allen in AAU ball, and he wanted you to know that he is not a dirty player, and you need to shut the blank up.
Okay, Harry, come on up here. He is literally one of the dirtiest players in any sport that I have ever seen in my life. I will take that to my grave. This dude is blatantly tripping people, hip-checking people, risking injury, because he's a little brat.
I'm on your side. He's the type of guy that would do that to me or in my younger days, not today, and I would have gone up underneath him.
So, anyway, I'm Harry Douglas, I mean, I love you. You're an awesome dude, but you've never been wronger about that. Two more. Jay Cutler and Bill Snyder. Bye-bye. Bill Snyder, your boy.
Why don't you like Bill Snyder?
It's time to go. Time to go, boss. He's 800 years old. Time to go.
Couple of funny ones coming in on the Twitter machine here. How about this? Let's retire ratchet reality shows. I agree with that one. How about wave caps underneath fitted caps?
I don't even know what that is. What does that mean?
It's more of a black thing.
Okay.
Wave cap, wear it underneath. It's almost like the, I can't explain it. I have to show it to you with the fitted cap. You've seen it before. Here's another. Retire hashtag workflow. Hey, you're in your 30s. You should be working.
JB hit us up on Twitter, Rick and John 1990, says, retire skinny jeans for men, the word fleek, and mumble rap.
Mumble rap. Here's another one. Retire it is what it is. Yeah, I kind of don't like what. Man bun should be gone. I agree with that. Man bun's stupid.
Your guy for Houston, their best player, Rob Gray, has a man bun.
Who the hell's Rob Gray?
He's the star point guard for Houston.
Oh, the University of Houston. Oh,
I'm telling you, he's really good, but he's got an odd look to him.
Somebody said retire the word Hotlanta. I don't think that's used too much. That's mostly from out-of-towners still call it Hotlanta. And that's when we all give them that look like, dude, that was cool in 1994.
Anytime they're doing the overview of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, coming to you live from Hotlanta. No, you're not.
Hey, don't forget, guys, if you're a college basketball fan, come join me and Bud Light this Saturday at the Bird Rotisserie and Sports off Ashford-Dunwoody Road in Dunwoody. 5 to 7 to watch the best college basketball game. It's the Ball and Brew Takeover presented by Bud Light, famous among friends. You're a college football fan. This guy's got a fascinating story. He's a new head coach of the SEC West. It's Chad Morris of the Arkansas Razorbacks next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
All right, welcome back to the Midday Show with Rick and John here in the Kia Studios. Big, big guest. We've got the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, Chad Morris, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How you guys?
We're doing great, man. So I know John wants to go back in time with you, but I'm curious about the transition from SMU to Arkansas. Then he'll go kind of back in time with you a little bit. But just talk about getting that Arkansas job and how excited you are about it.
Well, man, I tell you what, it's been wide open since we started here in the early December. And just the passion level across our great state for these Razorbacks has been incredible. I've been able to travel all over our state and meet so many wonderful people and so many passionate fans and alumni and boosters. And it's just remarable. I mean, these people are so hungry. And we're just excited to be able to start this process together.
Coach, you've had an amazing journey from high school coach, winning a couple of state championships, Tulsa OC for a year, and then on to Clemson. How were you received originally when you got the job at Clemson, bringing in a complete culture change on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, it was phenomenal. You know, Dabo brought me in and interviewed me. I still remember to this day, you know, he said, look, I'm not going to interview you unless you bring your entire family in. And I thought that was pretty special. So we brought Paula and Mackenzie and Chandler, and all of us went up there and interviewed. And just immediately from the get-go, we knew that was a right fit. I mean, it was all about family. It was all about just the genuineness that you see and, you know, what Dabo portrays. That's who he is. And his vision that he shared with us, and he said, Coach, I just need you to come in here and fix the offense. And I said, Coach, if you hire me, you'll never have to worry about offensive football again. And away we went.
And they haven't had to worry about offensive football, winning a national championship a year ago, obviously getting to the back to the playoffs this year. Did you feel sort of proud to watch Clemson from afar win a championship?
I was extremely proud, you know, because, you know, when we left to go to SMU, obviously they promoted Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott. And for the most part, the entire staff is still there. Robbie Caldwell's still there. Danny Pierman's still there. And so on the offensive side, and so there was so much pride and so much excitement for watching those guys and the success that they've had. I'm extremely proud of them. They're some of my very best friends to this day.
I love it. Chad Morris, head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, joining your boys Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, what did Brett Bielema do or put in place that's helping you right now?
Well, and that's a great question, and I've shared this with across our state. These guys, the more I'm around them, immediately when I first came into my very first team meeting, you knew that the love they had for Coach B and the entire coaching staff here, they had done a really good job of developing relationships with these guys. And so making that transition to a new staff and us developing relationships with these kids that's been smooth. And then watching these guys on the practice field and how they practice and the demands that they were required to be in, and that was impressive as well.
Now you guys are already into spring practice. I believe your spring game will be on April the 9th, if I'm reading correctly. What have you learned so far about your team in the limited time you've had a chance to get with them?
Yeah, we got practice 7 today, matter of fact, and our spring game's on April the 7th, that Saturday, and so it's. You know, this is a team that's hungry. This is a team that's thirsty for knowledge, and they have been so receptive to us as a new staff in implementing, you know, going from an odd front defense to back to an even front, and going from, you know, the more traditional pro style offense to a wide open, 12 personnel, 2-back run-oriented football team. These guys have just been hungry. They're having a lot of success. They've got great competition going on the field, and been very, very pleased with where we are right now. Of course, we're a long way away, and don't get me wrong, but these guys are understanding our demands and learning to play fast.
It's a great get for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chad Morris, head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Who's your quarterback?
Well, if I knew that right now, I don't know, even know if we'd even go to practice today. Oh, goodness. No, I'm just kidding. We've got several guys that are competing right now that, Cole Kelly, obviously coming out playing out of last year a little bit. But we've got several guys right now. Ty Story is another young man that's competing for the job. He's a junior. It's still wide open, and we may not even come out of spring naming a starter just yet. We're a long way away. We've got to be more consistent at that position, but these guys have got a great competition going on right now.
We've got Chad Morris with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, making that transition, power running game under Brett Bielema, you're going to be having a lot more spread concepts. How long does that take the offensive line to get used to?
Well, for the most part, everybody runs the power and the counter in the inside zone, the outside zone. And so, from the scheme standpoint, it's not going to be that difficult. It's more the terminology. It's more the pace of play that we're going to require them to play at. They would come back and they would huddle, and they were averaging somewhere around 60 to 61 snaps a game. And we want to be averaging, upwards to 90 snaps a game. So when you increase your snap total 25, 30 snaps a game, and you figure, you score a touchdown or field goal one out of every 15 to 16 snaps. So more production, faster pace of play means more points. And so it's just understanding the requirements of taking care of your body, your training off the field, your nutrition. Those are things that all just kind of come into play when you transition over.
Coach, you're talking to a couple of college football junkies here. We play college football, fantasy football. John runs a league, and I messed around with Jonathan Nance last year. 37 grabs, 539, and 5 touchdowns. What do you see his numbers going a lot north of there? Is he your best offensive player coming back, Chad?
Well, we've got several guys coming back. They played a lot of really young guys last year due to injuries. And, anytime you play a really young guy at this level, it's always a tough time at that moment, but it's good for the future. And Nance is one of those guys that played early last year and he did some really good things. He's got elite speed. We'll definitely find ways to create mismatches for him. But the other guys that we're really proud of too and excited to get out there on that field. LaMichael Petway is another young man that's got great potential and is really having a good spring.
You hired John Chavis to be your defensive coordinator. SEC fans know him very well, his time at LSU and other stops along the way. Arkansas gave up almost 400 yards a game and only had 19 sacks. What's his biggest challenge rebuilding the Razorback defense?
I think just creating the depth that we need in this league, both on the defensive line and obviously in our offensive line as well. But Coach Chavis is well experienced. He's been around for a long time, and man, he's coaching every day with something to prove, and that's he's got an edge about him. He knows that what we're taking over and the excitement level that this state has, and for their football, and man, John is just he's doing a fabulous job. These players absolutely love being around him, and his reputation precedes him without a doubt.
Chad Morris joining us here, the new head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. And, Coach, you're in the SEC West, October 6th, at home, Alabama. Your thoughts on taking on Saban? You're in the SEC, bro.
Well, you know what? It's obviously a huge challenge right there in itself, but our biggest focus is can we be the best football team today? And if we can just get through today's practice and be a better team, when we come off that practice field than we were when we went on it, then we were successful. If we stack enough good days on top of good days, then great things happen. But we got a lot of games between now and then, a lot of preparation between now and then, I just want to be the best Arkansas Razorback football team we can be today.
Coach, when Arkansas was at their best, and they've had national championship years in the past, they recruited the state of Texas well. You obviously have ties to the state of Texas, but now you've got Gary Patterson, Jimbo Fisher, Tom Herman. Oklahoma obviously tries to go in there with Lincoln Riley, Mike Gundy. How much do you have to lean on some of your old connections for high school to walk in there and compete against some of the big boys when it comes to bringing players into Arkansas?
Well, they do. You know, it's all about relationships, and that's everything recruiting is focused on. And so, you know, just being able to come in and use our connections, being a high school coach in that state for 18 years and going back and coaching at SMU for three. And, you know, I've coached with most of those guys in that state. If I hadn't been on the same staff with them, I've coached against them. And so we'll rely on those guys a whole lot. We've had about 550 coaches here this past week, high school coaches coming in and out and us sharing knowledge with them and them sharing knowledge with us. And so, yeah, it is. It's going to require everybody to lock arms, you know, and not just in that state, but we've got to win the state of Arkansas too. And, you know, on about a 10 to 12 year study, the amount of SEC Division I talent that comes out of the state of Arkansas each year, it ranges from three to on an upward year of eight or nine. And regardless if it's three, regardless if it's 10, we've got to make sure that those kids in our own state stay right here and come play for the Razorbacks.
Coach, you were a part of an historic offseason in college football with all of the movement and turnover with coaches. I don't think it's ever happened with the volume that it's happened. And it, like I said, you were a big part of that. What does that say about college football in general, you and all these other coaches moving around?
Well, this was one of those years that they'll talk about for a long time and may not see another year like this for many, many, many years. It was very difficult, I'll tell you that. You know, especially you had all the coaching change, plus you couple the fact with an early signing period. That was very difficult for any staff that had a changeover. And so, you know, the thing that we just did was we put our best foot forward and you know, we tried to go in and we honored the commitments that were already here at Arkansas. And some of those guys stayed committed to us and signed with us. Some didn't. They went on and that's okay too. But, it was a challenging time, let me tell you.
Coach, we really appreciate it. Best of luck this upcoming season and many years to come. You're one of the fascinating stories in college football, and it's always fun to watch your offenses. Best of luck there in Arkansas.
Well, we appreciate what you guys do and what you do for this game, and look forward to getting back on the show with you guys soon.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
check. C-H-E-C-K. Check. Text CHECK right now to 72881. It's your $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest word.
Grayson Allen used his hip to check a North Carolina player, and Harry Douglas needs to be checked on that opinion. Sorry, love you, Harry.
CHECK to 72881. Again, text CHECK to 72881. There's a lot of guys in the NFL that are casting huge CHECK. CHECK. CHECK to 72881.
Singular, not plural.
Yeah, not plural.
CHECK. Okay, so big news, John, in free agency. Nate Solder leaving the New England Patriots. He was their left tackle.
Yeah.
Okay, and so now the protector of Tom Brady's blind side is gone. I'm very excited. The bad news for New England is it's just good news for everybody else. He's going to the Giants, John, 4 years, $60 million. Dude, we're not even close to being players in free agency.
No.
I mean, not even close. Like, we have 8 million. These other teams have 50, 70, 80, 90 million. We're not even close.
Sorry, Coach. Coach just wanted to talk to us.
By the way, that was a great interview. Yeah. Shout out to Chad Morris, man.
Absolutely.
Great, great guy. Just a real kind, easygoing, laid-back dude. Now, I'm sure on the football field, he can throw some profanity around and put the boot in the butt, but he was a great guy.
Here's the thing. My perception, the reason I asked him about Clemson, my perception when he was hired from Clemson fans, and I could be wrong. Jeff Benedict will shoot me a tweet if I am. My perception back when they hired Chad Morris was, really? You're going to hire a guy that's 1 year removed from high school? Remember, he goes from high school. He went back-to-back 16-0 seasons, won Texas State championships, which is a huge accomplishment. Gilbert Grayson, I believe, was his quarter. Or Garrett Gilbert. I'm sorry. Garrett Gilbert, the old Texas kid, was his quarterback in high school. He leaves there, goes to Tulsa to be the OC there. Tulsa goes from, you know, middle of the road to all of a sudden explodes offensively. And he goes to Clemson. What I remember from Clemson fans was they weren't all that enamored to hire Chad Morris. And then all of a sudden he got there. And then that thing clicked. And you heard him mention Tony Elliott and the family that's still there at Clemson. Chad Morris is a big reason Clemson's as good as they are today.
So is he the QB whisperer? Is he a system guy? Is he a play caller? Like, what is his secret sauce?
His system is unbelievable. I mean, what Clemson does today, he laid that blueprint. And he'll do the same thing at Arkansas in time. Hey, the NCAA tournament is underway. We'll break down what the loss of DeAndre Hunter could mean for Virginia. We talk about some of the play-in games as well on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9 The Game.
Love that show. Love John and Hugh, the whole gang in the morning show. Rick and John, we're with M.O. We're with the Preacher Man. We got a dream team as well, and we're talking college basketball because the tournament began last night. I have cleansed myself, John, of calling the first four play-in games. I used to call them that. I used to not really understand why they went. I'm to the point where I don't care. You got 16s versus 16s, and you got 11s versus 11s mm-hmm. to try to move on. I do like the fact that the NCAA has changed it. It was the first round was the first four, and then the second round was the first round. That I thought was idiotic. So the first four and the first round is the same thing, and so that works for me. But any old way, dude, UCLA goes down last night. Your St. Bonaventure, whatever Bonnies. The hell their name is. Are they the Bonnies?
Yeah, they're the Bonnies.
How original. The St. Bonaventure Bonnies.
I think that's
really?
The nickname, at least. That's what they kept calling them, was the Bonnies.
Okay.
We're going to have fun tomorrow and sort of make fun of ourselves about how little we may actually know about the NCAA tournament teams. So Mark or Paul, I think Paul should come up with the questions. Yeah, because that'll make it funny. Oh, Mark's already done them, so never mind. Mark's ahead of the curve.
I love it.
You know, Mark was given more assignments yesterday, and he just took them on head on. Boom, I'm going to go do it. But we're going to have him come up with, like, all right, where is such and what city is such and such school in? Who is the head coach of such and such schools? So we're gonna have some fun with how little we actually know.
Oh, crap. Louisville's not in the tournament this year. You could ask me, you know, what city is Louisville in?
Where would you think they play?
Cincinnati.
Yeah, that would be correct.
You want a sample question?
Yes.
Sample question. Villanova Wildcats. Who's their head coach?
I know that one. It's Jay Wright.
Yeah, that one's easy.
Okay, there you go. All right, here's one more. New Mexico State, who's their mascot?
Oh, the Aggies.
Lobos.
That's New Mexico's the Lobos. It's the Aggies.
New Mexico State, they are the Aggies.
Nice, good call.
Okay, so you're smarter than I thought. I got to make harder questions.
Well, you know why I know about New Mexico State? They beat Miami earlier this year, and they're one of my 12-5 upsets.
Can you name one player on New Mexico State?
No.
Neither can I. Not one player. But I'm picking him in the first round.
I did
round.
Some research on him, and if I go back and look, I'll go, oh, yeah, that's that guy's name.
Yeah.
I remember when they beat Miami, they played good defense, they got good guard play. And what wins in the NCAA tournament?
Guard play. That's what everybody says.
It is. Because here's what happens. Late in games, when games are close, and typically tournament games are really close, the guards have the ball in their hand. They need to be able to shoot free throws, and they need to be able to handle pressure.
And, John, you know this. A team like Arizona, and I've got them going far, but because they have guard play and they have bigs. They have mm-hmm. they have skyscrapers and Ayton and Ristich. The guards have to get the bigs the ball.
Yeah.
So that's another layer of how important guard play is. They got to get those guys the ball. And by the way, Arizona, just keep lobbing it to DeAndre Ayton. Just keep area code lobbing it, DeAndre Jordan Clipper style, to DeAndre Ayton, and you will be fine in the NCAA tournament. But, John, and this is in the same region. I've got Arizona coming out of the South. A lot of you have Virginia coming out of the South, the number one overall seed in the tournament and the number one seed, obviously, in that region. But they've lost DeAndre Hunter,
yep.
One of their best players, their sixth man of the year in the ACC. Is devastating too strong a word?
No, it's huge for them. Remember, Virginia is a team that does not go deep. They're not a team that's, you know, nine deep and you go, all right, you lose a guy and you rotate him and no big deal. A lot of people are comparing this injury. Remember, Chris Bouchard gets hurt a year ago for Oregon right before the tournament, and everybody goes, uh-oh, Oregon's in trouble. Well, you had Tyler Dorsey and you had Jordan Bell and all those guys. They had a point guard that played great. They had all these players that stepped up and had marvelous tournaments. And basically, if they box out against North Carolina, they probably go to the national championship game, but they fall in the Final Four. Virginia doesn't seem to have that depth or star power. Virginia's never been a team that's overly offensive. I know Isaiah Wilkins can play some ball. They got a couple of shooters on the outside. They're going to live on defense and playing the game at a slow pace. But you're losing a guy that can put the ball in the bucket, and that's something Virginia desperately needs. I'm telling you now, I went back into my pools, and I had Virginia as a Final Four team. I now have them losing in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I'm not mad at you. I sort of already just have a hard time believing in Virginia's ability to score the rock against the high octane teams of college basketball. And like I said, I think they're built to beat the ACC. I think you get them outside of the ACC, and it's a different ball game. John, you know that the tournament, it opens up. You get nerves involved. Mm-hmm. The game tends to be played faster, I find, in the NCAA tournament, and they're all about pace. I think a team is going to be able to get Virginia a little bit out of their identity in this tournament once it goes deeper in. Now, DeAndre Hunter, he's 6'7", mm-hmm. 222 pounds. And he's one of the biggest players on Virginia. They're not a team with overwhelming size. They get most of their points from their guards. DeAndre Hunter's given him 9.2 points, 3.5 rebounds in 20 minutes a game. So he's playing half the game. And, John, in the ACC tournament, he had 12 points in the win over Louisville. He had 9 points, 4 boards, and some defensive stats against Clemson. And he had 10 points and 4 boards in 18 minutes in the win over North Carolina. Big loss for Virginia.
Yeah, and they're a team, and here's the thing. To get them out of their style, you got to get into the 70s. You know how many teams have scored 70 points against Virginia this year?
Brendan Haywood told us yesterday.
That would be zero. Nobody has scored 70 points on the Cavaliers. Now, DeAndre Hunter will not change the fact that they still will play great defense. I think it'll change the fact of them being able to get closer to the 70s. Remember, they score 75 in the ACC tournament against Louisville. They score 71 against North Carolina in the championship game. So those are two of the higher scoring games for Virginia throughout the year. They had a 74-point game against Louisville way back in the middle of the season. They scored 78 against Virginia Tech. And then you got to go all the way back to the non-conference. Is that correct? They only had two 70-point offensive games the entire ACC schedule. That's insane.
But it's John, what it reeks of is the backyard wars of the ACC. Mm-hmm. NC State knows them. They know NC State. North Carolina and Virginia, they go toe-to-toe every year. They know each other. They know the system, the coach, the tendencies. They know the talents and the weaknesses of the players. And so I think it's one of those down-in-the-mud backyard brawl things, and you get Virginia in the NCAA tournament, and now they're looking at teams that they haven't seen all year. They're looking at styles of play they haven't seen all year, different talents of players they haven't seen all year. So I'm going to bet against them.
I am now. If Hunter's in, I had him going to the Final Four because I think they are that good defensively. And every time I've watched them this year, you start going, oh, they're boring. Wow, right. They won by 12.
Right.
It's just they grind you into a submission. It's like, you get somebody in an arm bar long enough and you keep wrenching on that thing and pulling. And the next thing you know, either the elbow's going to pop out of socket or you tap out. And that's what teams have done against Virginia a whole bunch.
They slow death you, man. We're talking tournament here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Coming up, coaches on the hot seat in the Pac-12 in our college football cheat sheet. And we're going to hit you with free agent news. We're going to apply it to the Falcons at the top of the hour. But Virginia suffers a huge loss here. And have you made any other adjustments?
No, that's
to your brackets?
That's it. It's the only one.
You know what I'm doing, John?
What's that?
I'm not touching my brackets. I did them on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I've made two changes. I wanted New Mexico State. A lot of buzz about this team, and I'm not feeling Clemson. They've lost a guy or two along the way. I did get some intel on TCU. Their starting point guard gone for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been sort of hanging on for dear life here at the end of the season. And I have TCU beating the winner of tonight's game, Arizona State and Syracuse. Based on what I see tonight, I may change that. You know what I mean?
If I actually have the winner of the Arizona State-Syracuse game advancing.
There you go. And I think I'm just going to have to go ahead and do that. By the way, that's a good basketball game tonight.
The kid for New Mexico State, and I couldn't remember, is Zach Lofton. 20 points a game, nice player for them. So that's the kid to pay attention to with them. But no, I'm the same way. I make a pick and I just stay with it. Like, I have Butler going to the Sweet 16.
Really?
You know what? Throw one out there and let it stick.
Who you got Butler beating?
Arkansas and Purdue. Don't trust Purdue.
Bro, that is the most wide-open bracket. The Florida, St. Bonnie, Texas Tech, SFA, Ark, Butler, Arkansas, that is, Purdue. That whole cluster right there, mm-hmm. John, flip a coin. And you're like, wait a minute, Purdue's the two seed. Have you watched them this year?
Right.
Have you watched them historically?
Well,
Purdue is
more...
Purdue. They're talented. They're not super deep. They got bigs that can score. They got three-point shooting. They got guys that score in the mid-range. They have athletic wings. But they're Purdue. Mm-hmm. I just don't trust them.
No, they played really well early in the year, and down the stretch, they weren't as good. So, no, I don't trust them either. But, no, I put the bracket together, and I leave it. I go, that's it. That's what we're going to go
so
with.
You have okay, so you and me are opposite there. I have Arkansas beating Butler, and then I have Arkansas beating Purdue. You have Butler beating Arkansas and then Butler beating Purdue.
Again, I'm throwing it to the wall and see if
it like
sticks.
No, I like it. I like it. I have Auburn in the Sweet 16. What else am I doing here? I don't have a lot of like really gutsy, nadsy calls in my bracket. Mm-hmm. A lot of chalk. I took a couple of risks. I took Loyola Chicago over John's Miami squad.
Don't sing it, bring it.
I'm actually trying, John, to reverse jinx you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think me picking Loyola Chicago will actually benefit your Canes.
By the way, did you see what's going on with Miami? Now, Bruce Brown, a couple of days ago, Jim Larrañaga said 6 weeks of recovery. You know what he's doing tomorrow? He's dressing.
Really?
Jim Larrañaga said he won't play tomorrow. But I told Paul, if you're dressing a kid and you're saying now you're going to take it day by day after that, he was cleared by doctors to play. He just hasn't had any rehab.
What do you mean?
Bruce Brown. He was cleared by doctors. He will dress.
But he's had the rehab,
no,
right?
No. He's been in a boot for 6 weeks.
How long? 6 weeks?
Yeah.
How long has he been out of the boot?
Since like 2 days ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But has he practiced yet?
I don't think so.
How can you play him? Well, he hasn't played in a month and a half, and he hasn't practiced?
Larrañaga says he's not going to play tomorrow, but he'll take it day by day from there.
Interesting.
Hey, don't forget, this weekend, 10 to 12, Carriage Kia, 2815 Brownsbridge Road in Gainesville. We'll be out there hanging out from 10 to 12. Brian Jordan, Chris Chambliss will be on site signing autographs. I'll tell you, I bought both of my Kias from Carriage Kia in Gainesville. They're great people. The general manager, Brian, is my guy. I'm actually in his fantasy football league. He'll be out there. They have great deals on Kias. I'm actually going to test drive that new Stinger while I'm out there, and we're going to see if I can get talked into buying another car. Also, next Saturday, the 24th, Carriage Kia in Woodstock. Our own Mark Owens will be out there.
10 a.m. to noon. If you can't get out this weekend, how about next weekend? Carriage Kia in Woodstock. Terry Pendleton and Ron Gant will be hanging out with me.
So you get Gant and Pendleton, I get Jordan and Chambliss.
So you can do the world tour this Saturday in Gainesville, next Saturday up in Woodstock. That'd be a good time. 10 a.m. to noon, all the information, 92onthegame.com.
I'll be there 10 to noon as well. And again, I may buy a Stinger this weekend. Take a break. We come back. Who's on the hot seat in the Pac-12 when it comes to college coaches? That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we're back in the Kia Studios. Free agency going crazy in the NFL. We get back to that at the top of the hour. We talk college football every day at 11:40 in our College Football Cheat Sheet. It's brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up, another way to make you smile. At R.S. Andrews. Hot seat in the Pac-12. It is a very cold, chilly conference mm-hmm. for coaches. There's a lot of job security out there in the Pac-12. Matter of fact, John, I'm going to tell you right now, there's not one coach on the hot seat in the Pac-12. Not one.
I tend to agree with. I agree with you. I am, you know, for the sake of the segment, trying to come up with who potentially.
Yeah, me
could
too.
Be on
I challenged myself.
But it is tough because a lot of the programs that had coaches on the hot seat, they just changed coaches. Now, Jim Mora's gone. Arizona State's Todd Graham's gone. Rich Rodriguez is gone. So all of those schools have changed coaches. Most of them won't fire somebody in 1 year unless it's a complete cluster blank. So you would think that most of those guys are safe. And the other guys, you know, Chris Peterson's not going anywhere. Clay Helton's not going anywhere. David Shaw. You know, whether he's top 10 or not, he's not going anywhere. The people love David Shaw. So it is a very tough conference to come up with. Where did you go with this?
Well, speaking of David Shaw, I've got him on here. 9-5. What? 9-5? That's butt rotten for Stanford. And really what I'm doing is talking pressure here. Again, none of these coaches are on the hot seat. And I know, John, look, I'm a David Shaw fan. I think he's a little overrated. And but he's a guy that has NFL head coaching buzz.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be like if Stanford ever Look, David Shaw could be at Stanford for the rest of his life.
Yep.
He has perfect job security. John, I just want to play the pressure game. Is Mike McCarthy, by the way, of Colorado at all on a hot seat?
Mike McIntyre.
Mm-hmm. My bad. Did I say Mike McCarthy?
You did.
That's the Packers head coach.
Now, he is on a hot seat. He's not on a hot seat, but he's got pressure.
Mike McIntyre, is he on a hot seat there? Colorado bottomed out last year.
I don't think so.
I don't either. Didn't he win Coach of the Year
two years ago, he had won Coach of the Year.
So there's no hot seat there.
But I still think there is some pressure from Mike McIntyre. I think Mike McIntyre, because you had that Coach of the Year, they're going, wait, that can't be a one-year anomaly. We need you to build something.
I mean, everybody's so high in Colorado, they don't even really care.
That is true.
Have you been to the campus of Boulder, by the way?
Yes, absolutely unbelievable, beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful.
Love me some Boulder.
Here's a quick story. When I was a sophomore, getting ready to go my sophomore year at Texas College, my mom had moved to Denver full time. She had left South Florida and moved out there. And she goes, you know, I'd love you to go to college a little bit closer to me. So at that time, I was 20. And I said, man, I'd love to go walk onto a football program because Texas College didn't have football. Much as I love baseball and basketball, I really wanted to play football. So I cobbled together some old highlight tapes from a couple of years earlier when I was in high school. Have you ever heard of Adams State University?
Have not.
It is down in, I'd have to look it up. It's down in the mountains, like the southern area. But I went on kind of a Colorado tour, and I said, I've got to go look at CU Boulder. Now, I had no chance of playing football at CU because this was in the 90s when they were still really good. But I went and looked at Boulder. Holy cow, that's a beautiful campus.
It's ridiculous. And, John, they've got several music venues there, but they've got the Fox Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Jam bands come through there. Rock and roll bands come through there. It's one of my favorite venues in America. So, John, when I was in Colorado, we lived in, you know, with the previous regime, we lived in a town called Evergreen. You ever heard of Evergreen, Colorado? It's right up the road from Morrison, which is where Red Rocks is. But if you know the geography of Colorado, Boulder kind of goes to the right and up,
yep,
and Evergreen and the mountains kind of go to the left and up. Mm-hmm. So Boulder and Evergreen, John, were 45 minutes away. And it's 45 minutes, what's the big deal? Well, it's not treacherous driving, but it's hilly driving and windy, and it gets dark and there's not a lot of lights out there. But, John, look, there's jam bands playing the Fox Theater in Boulder on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and mm-hmm. Sundays. So often I would make the trek from Evergreen all the way to Boulder to see a band and then drive back. It was somewhat dangerous, but I had to do what I had to do.
Adams State University is in Alamosa, Colorado.
I've never heard of that.
It's down like southern Rockies area.
The flatlands
no,
of Colorado?
No, it was rocky-ish, but it was down there. But I ended up not going there,
Adams
long story short.
State.
All right, so I'm going to run through the guys that I have on the list of hot seat-ish. And as we talked about in the Pac-12, not a whole lot of hot seat. I do believe Mike McIntyre is on a hot seat. 2-10, he went 4-8, 2-10, 4-9. 10-4 goes to the Alamo Bowl, 5-7.
Colorado in 2-7 in conference.
Yeah, Colorado wants to be a bowl team every year, and they're not right now. So I think Mike McIntyre, and I know he got an extension a couple of years ago, I think McIntyre needs to win some games or he can be on a hot seat. Here's the other two guys I have, and these are very loose interpretation. Mind you, Oregon State's got a new coach in Jonathan Smith. He's not going anywhere.
I literally did not even know they had a new coach.
Yeah, remember, Gary Anderson decided mid-year to quit.
Good call.
And then Jonathan Smith, former quarterback at Oregon State, actually quarterbacked their Fiesta Bowl team in 2001, if I'm not mistaken, with Dennis Erickson.
Sure.
Jonathan Smith is the new head coach there.
Sorry, Beaver fans. Your team is so far off the radar, I didn't even know.
You don't remember. That was with Chad Johnson. TJ Houshman's.
I remember that squad.
Yeah, I believe Jonathan Smith was the quarterback.
My guys, Gary Payton and Brent Berry came through there.
Yep. Derek Anderson
Gary
came
Payton
through
the
there.
Third came through there.
Yeah, Derek Anderson came through there.
The former Carolina quarterback?
Yeah.
He was an Oregon State guy?
Yeah, he's
Oregon
State
know that.
Guy. Yeah. I believe he was.
Did not know
Could
that.
Could be wrong. Mario Cristobal to me is on a hot seat. Oregon does not want to go back to obscurity. And I know it's a first-year job. He takes over for Willie Taggart. But they're now on their third coach in 3 years. That's not what Phil Knight in Oregon wants to do. He wants to pump money in. He wants to be in big bowl games. Cristobal may end up being a great coach. I don't know. His time at FIU was more missed than hit, and he didn't leave on the best terms with them. Has he revamped his career enough?
Let me throw Herm Edwards' name into the mix here.
I agree.
Is he on your list?
No, he's not.
He just got the job, okay? The reason I think he's on a hot seat, John, is this might be one and done.
Mm-hmm.
he may do this, and it may be a bad fit. Not like culturally. Like I think Herman Edwards is a great guy and a real affable guy, and I think he can fit in a lot of places. He may look around and go, the grind of college football ain't for me. Mm-hmm. I like my life up in Bristol where I got paid to opine and sit in my nice suits and my tennis shoes. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So for that reason, I think there's some pressure on Herman Edwards to prove he can go to the college game and get this done. But it might be one and done.
I agree. He could be a guy, and he may be a guy that doesn't even want to be there. He might go that one year and go, yeah, boy, this I'm not sure about. Because he's already kind of been lukewarm on the whole recruiting thing. And that's the that's the backbone of your team.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, who was the guy? Was it Gruden? Oh, yeah, Gruden with the Tennessee thing. He was like, I can't be a head coach in college. I don't know the rules. He's like, I would be breaking all the rules.
Didn't Herm Edwards
and doing all the stuff?
Herm Edwards said something in one of his press conferences. I don't even know these kids yet. What? That's another issue. You might want to have them in the office and kind of get to know. Justin Wilcox of California is another one. And he's only been on the job 1 year. This is year two. He was 5-7 in his first year. I don't know. I don't know that Cal cares about football enough. They care about academics. It's the only thing they think about. Yeah, I was right. Jonathan Smith. He was the guy. He was the QB.
It's a good pull.
Yeah. And Derek Anderson is a he absolutely is a Oregon State grad.
So now that we have that knowledge, we can move on with the rest of our day.
We can, and we'll talk free agency next. The Falcons are making not many moves yet, but we'll talk about that as well as other moves that have been made on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell, afternoons 2 to 7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.